They were 5,000 feet up in the air on a two-seater Cessna airplane when suddenly the pilot slumped over. It happened near Mount Hope, Indiana, when an 81-year-old passenger was on his way to Indianapolis for lunch. And when his 52-year-old friend and pilot suddenly died, he realized that he knew nothing about flying and even less about landing. So you can imagine, of course, during those next 20 minutes, he gave his total, complete attention to the voices over the radio and the instructions that were given to him. There was another pilot nearby who coached him in flying the Cessna, and more importantly, of course, in landing. And as he got near the airport, he circled three times, he bounced a few times, and he landed in a soggy field. Incredibly, the only damage was a bent propeller. And it was amazing, of course, because as he landed, he realized how grateful he was to that other pilot who basically became, in a real sense, his savior. And his priority became, you know, very clear when he was up in the air that, yes, he needed not only to fly the plane, but his number one priority was to land that plane without crashing. And of course, if any of us would have been in that same situation, our number one priority would have came into focus very, very quickly as well. Stephen Covey shared this story in his book, First Things First, and he reminded us that life so often, and life itself, is about putting first things first. And that's what Jesus invites us would-be disciples to do in the gospel, to put first things first. The first would-be disciple said, "I will follow you wherever you go," but then Jesus gives him that warning. "The foxes have dens and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head." Of course, he invited him, yes, to continue to follow him, but he said that to follow him, to be a disciple, is not easy. It's unpredictable. It's uncomfortable. And we may be going places, coming and going places, again and again that we could never predict. And then to the other disciple, he said, "Follow me." And he said, "Well, first let me go and bury my father." And Jesus' response sounds very harsh. He said, "Well, let the dead bury their dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." But there's no indication whatsoever that the man's father was dead. He may not have died for several years after, and it was probably more an excuse for him to delay the call until he thought the time was just right. And then to the third would-be disciple who wanted to go back and say goodbye to his family, he said that he was requiring him that complete focus, not to look back from the plow, but instead to follow Jesus in that moment. Of course, Jesus called, as he called those three would-be disciples, obviously is the same crystal clear call for each of us. As Jesus says to us, "Follow me." This is the heart of being a Christian, a Catholic, a disciple. It's following Jesus. It's following a person who loves us beyond all imagining. It's not merely following the commandments or following the teachings of the church, which are essential, of course, and help us to find freedom and help us to find beauty, goodness, and truth, but it's following the very person of Jesus Christ himself, the one who has given everything for us, the one who has suffered and died for us so that we might truly live. Because yes, we were made for a personal relationship with him, and we are called to offer and surrender our lives to him in all things. Of course, yes, we have our own excuses, we have our own hesitations, our doubts, and our fears, those obstacles too, that keep us from giving everything completely to Jesus. But we're like the 81-year-old passenger up in the plane. In reality, at every moment of our lives, we are called to focus on what is most important. We are called to focus on the one who is not only our Savior, Jesus, to keep our eyes fixed on him, but the one who says, "Follow me," not just that we are his servants, but that we are his friends, that we walk with him day by day in prayer, hand in hand, that we invite him into all those areas of our lives where we struggle, that we ask him for the grace of forgiveness. We ask him for the grace of being able to let go of those things that keep us from following him, to let go of those fears, those doubts, and those hesitations. I recently was speaking to a friend of mine, and she was talking about how in the past her parents had lots of difficulties, and unfortunately they were going through a divorce. And this, she was about 18 years old or so at the time. And she said at the time that she wasn't really practicing her faith very, very frequently. It was kind of a lukewarm practice of her faith. But her parents having difficulties helped her to focus and to fix her eyes and surrender things to our Blessed Mother and to Jesus. And then after her parents got divorced, before that she had great family support from extended family. And after the divorce happened, all her family vanished. No one was there for them. And she realized, okay, Jesus, I realize I have to give this all to you. I only have you. And of course, that's what we hear in the psalm today, that you are my inheritance, O Lord. The Lord belongs to us, and we belong to him. Yes, he calls us to fix our eyes on him and to let go and to realize that, yes, he is all that we need. No matter what he's calling us to leave behind or to let go, he will give us everything that we truly need. So yes, the Lord invites us to put first things first and to give ourselves away in true freedom as we give ourselves away in service to God and in service to one another. And when we do so, the Lord will help us truly to fly and land where the Lord Jesus calls us to be.